Hey everyone!
Hola a todos!
This is Stephanie.
And this is Jahaira. And welcome back to Cuento Crimen Podcast.
Hoy vamos a hablar del caso de Marlene Ochoa López.
And honestly, this one is a pretty, like, what would you say, Steph? Like a pretty tragic story.
Yeah.
And so antes de empezar el caso, we again would like to give you all a heads up.
And since we will be talking about sensitive topics, queremos darles una advertencia porque vamos a hablar de temas sensibles.
And again, queremos decir que hablamos de esos casos con todo respeto a las familias y a las víctimas. And, you know, we just want to remind you all that, like, the reason why we talk about these cases is just to spread awareness. So now, let's jump in.
Today, we will be talking about the tragic case of Marlene Ochoa López.
Marlene, de 19 años de edad, ya tenía 9 meses de embarazo y también tenía un niñito de 3 años.
She was from Chicago and she was married to Giovanni López.
She was a teen mom and she was going to school. And honestly, like, I applaud her because I feel like just alone going to school is very hard. Mm-hmm. And I can only imagine what it's like to go to school and still be a mom at the same time.
And being 9 months pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ya mero iba a tener a su segundo hijo. Like, it could have been any day now.
Yeah, like, at any moment she could give birth and, you know, she was excited about it, you know? It's her second child.
So this story begins on April 23rd, 2019. Ella salió de youth high school and iba a ir a recoger a su hijo de 3 años del daycare. Pero nunca llegó al daycare.
And that was the last time anyone heard from Marlene. Marlene fue reportada desaparecida on April 24th, 2019, a day after, porque la policía le dijo a la familia que tenían que esperar más horas para reportar una desaparición. And I think we've all heard the excuse of que la persona tiene que estar desaparecida por más de 24 horas to be declared a missing person.
Honestly, it doesn't make sense to me why they wanted the family to wait 24 hours when she is pregnant and at any moment she could give birth. So I don't understand why that wasn't a red flag to mm-hmm. the police, you know? And so as soon as the detectives got the case, they did not have any solid leads from the beginning.
El papá de Marlene dijo que no le dieron atención a la desaparición de Marlene. And he thinks it was because of their legal status.
Fue hasta mayo 7 que los detectives finally had a solid lead.
And if we go back to it, she disappeared April 23rd. And it wasn't until May 7th that they finally decided to shine light on this case. That's a lot of days.
Yeah, cada minuto cuenta. And just from like April 23rd to May 7th, it's a long time.
Yeah, it's a lot of minutes if you think about it. And anyways, when they finally, you know, did decide to pay attention to this case, it was all because una amiga de Marlene mencionó que Marlene had joined a Facebook group for moms, and so that's when they finally looked into it.
Every little detail or piece of information might be what they need to keep the investigation going. Like, this was nomás solo un comentario de una amiga que dijo que Marlene had joined a Facebook group.
Honestly, yeah, it's really interesting, like, how any single detail can be a lead, you know, todos los detalles en un caso como este son muy importantes.
Y ya viendo el Facebook de Marlene, vieron que Marlene was going to make a quick stop antes de recoger a su hijo del daycare. She had been communicating with a woman on the Facebook group for moms, and this woman, que se llamaba Clarissa Figueroa, and she was offering a double stroller and baby clothes. And Marlene went to meet with her at the woman's home in Scottsdale.
Honestly, like, okay, when we first, or like when at least I first heard about like the friend making the comment of like that she was like a part of like a mommy group on Facebook, I didn't think much about it. And so it's crazy that like they start looking into it and then they find that this was happening to the day that she disappeared. And I don't know, you know, like, it's just, it goes to show how literally anything can be a lead. And so, yeah, so, like, she arranged to meet with this person the same day that she went missing.
So los detectives fueron a la casa de Clarissa Figueroa and bumped into her daughter, Desiree Figueroa, and so they interviewed her. Y no dio mucha información sobre Marlene, pero sí dijo que su mamá was at the Advocate Christ Medical Center because she was having issues with her legs. Pero luego también les dice que she had just given birth.
And while being there, they also searched the neighborhood y encontraron el carro de Marlene muy cerca de la casa de, you know, Desiree and Clarissa.
So the detectives decided to go talk to Clarissa Figueroa. So they made their way to the hospital that she was at.
And I also think it's kind of weird that, like, originally, like, Desiree kind of gave, like, two reasons as to why her mom's at the hospital. Like, I don't know, I feel like if that was me and my mom was at the hospital because she had problems with her legs or she had just given birth, I would probably say, oh, she just gave birth more likely. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think maybe those were, like, red flags for the detectives.
Yeah.
And they actually made effort to go interview.
Yeah, I'm really glad that they went and they took that extra step and they didn't just, you know, let it be.
Leave it at that.
And so they started asking her questions about Marlene, Clarissa, pero ella dijo que Marlene nunca llegó a su casa, but que sí la conocía. Y que en el pasado sí le había regalado cosas de bebé. So she was kind of saying that they already had a relationship prior to this meetup that was supposed to happen.
And so the police had some suspicion because Clarissa was 46 years old. So it's less likely that she would be giving birth, you know? It's less likely, yeah. And the police subpoenaed hospital records. Y con una prueba de ADN vieron que el bebé que ella decía que era de ella, no era de ella.
You know, like, they felt something was off, and that's a big red flag. And so Marlene, if we think about it, was 9 months pregnant at the time of her disappearance. Entonces, tomaron ADN from Marlene's toothbrush and hairbrush, y los resultados concluyeron que el bebé que tenía Clarissa era de Marlene. Like,
that's crazy.
How does that even happen, is my question.
And Marlene is still missing at this point, but it does seem like we're getting closer to some answers.
Oh, no, yeah, definitely. I mean, like, here's her baby. Like, her unborn child is now born and she's missing.
Mm-hmm.
So, they definitely, like, I feel like are headed on the right path to get to where Marlene is. And on May 14th, they looked through the Figueroa's property y encontraron el cuerpo de Marlene y un cable, which was the murder weapon, all in the backyard garbage can. That is insane to me.
Insane.
In, like, the fact that her body was in the garbage can, like, it was just, like, a, you know, like, a, an item. Like, it was just...
It didn't mean anything.
Yeah. Got the chills, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
También encontraron pedazos de ropa quemada y adentro de la casa parecía que había sangre. Mm-hmm. And también encontraron bleach and cleaning solution. And since the evidence is piling up.
And I mean, the body's right there too.
Yeah, and all that. And so that was enough to take Clarissa Figueroa, Desiree Figueroa, and Clarissa's boyfriend, which I'm going to butcher his name because it's spelled differently.
Very uniquely.
Yeah. We think it's Peter Bodek. And so they took the three of them into custody.
And so now with a body, the crime location, and the people responsible, the detectives had all the details of what happened that day.
And vamos a hablar sobre la comunicación que tuvo Marlene con Clarissa por el Facebook. Cuando se conectaron por ese grupo para mamás.
Yeah, like we mentioned, Marlene had joined a mother group on Facebook. Y estos grupos are helpful porque es un grupo como una comunidad de gente que están en la misma situación. I feel like it would be comforting to be like in a, you know, in a group with other people that can relate to you. So in this case, aquí todas iban a tener un bebé o ya eran madres.
Yeah, very helpful because sometimes you might have a question and there's a group of people that can easily help and answer all your questions.
Yeah, or like you just feel support, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I feel like that's also one of the good things about like the internet, you know. Mm-hmm. And like a little bit of like background story that Steph and I thought was very crucial to this story is that el hijo de Clarissa, Xander, de 20 años, había muerto. So I feel like that was just some information on what may have led to this tragic story.
So después de la muerte de su hijo, Xander, Clarissa anunció que estaba embarazada. But esto tomó a todos por sorpresa porque her fallopian tubes were tied.
Yeah, so that kind of wasn't adding up. And she told everyone that she was pregnant y también subió fotos de su ultrasonido. So Clarissa was definitely sticking to the story that she was pregnant and she was making it known to everyone around her.
Okay, and back to Marlene and Clarissa interacting on Facebook. Marlene had posted on Facebook and asked for a double stroller, and Clarissa responded saying that she had an extra one and that she also had baby clothes she could give.
Y también se descubre que Marlene ya había ido a la casa de Clarissa anteriormente for like other baby items. So April 23rd was the second time that they were supposed to meet up, and it's likely that she felt more comfortable porque ya la había conocido. And so, yeah, so like they found like, you know, a few messages of Clarissa and Marlene going like, you know, back and forth, trying to arrange like a meeting time for Marlene to come pick up some stuff that Clarissa was going to gift her. And it was interesting to me how like Clarissa was very kind in these messages and very like helpful. Like, I think in the last one, you know, Marlene is telling her like, thanks so much for, you know, the deal, I guess, that they had. And Clarissa responds saying, one of the last messages that she sent to Marlene, it says, quote, unquote, no problem, girl. I know how it is. She was lucky to have two baby showers. So she just loves to spread the wealth. I'm fine with the help. Inbox me for more info, okay? She was acting nice. Like, she was acting like, well, obviously, she was putting up a front.
Yeah, it sounds so legit, you know, yeah. Because a lot of women do have multiple baby showers. Mm-hmm. It's pretty common. Like, you know, there's two families involved and maybe a work baby shower. So she sounds...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So nice, and it sounds really legit. And I mean, she's saying she's trying to spread the love and wealth, and mm-hmm. I mean, why does she need two of everything, you know?
Yeah,
so I don't know, it just kind of
goes to show that caras vemos, corazones no sabemos. And so I feel like this is like a perfect example of that, you know, like she was acting very like kind and very, you know, like spreading the wealth, like mm-hmm. or the love, she said, to be exact.
And so, after arranging the meeting over messages, Marlene llegó a la casa de la señora. And this time, she went inside. Well, we're not too sure if she went inside the first mm-hmm. time, but second time, you know, someone might feel a little bit more comfortable. And so she went inside, and that's where they distracted her. Le enseñaron un álbum de fotos, and that's when they attacked her. Clarissa and Desiree both attacked her.
Inside the house, Marlene was strangled with a cable.
And this gets really brutal, so just a heads up, what we're going to say next is kind of...
graphic.
Graphic, and, yeah. So after strangling her, también le cortaron su womb para poder sacar al bebé de Marlene.
I can't even begin to imagine, like, how does someone plan that? Like, how... I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm just a little speechless at this situation. Yeah. Like, it's brutal. It's sick. Like, it's... I don't even know. But... And so, yeah, she didn't give birth, you know? Like, it wasn't like she got there and she gave birth. No, like, they cut her open and they took her baby from inside.
And so, after cutting her open and getting the baby out of her, el bebé nació con problemas de respiración. And Clarissa llamó a 911, and as soon as help arrived, los paramedics pusieron al bebé on life support.
That was the only reason why she called 911, because the baby was critical. Clarissa told the paramedics that she was the one that had given birth.
The paramedics didn't ask questions, and I think, well, from what we read, that is kind of normal. Like, they're there to help and not really to...
Yeah, they were, like, distracted, you know? Like, they have a baby who needs help, so it's, like, the last thing on their mind is, like, who's the mom?
Yeah. You
know, it's probably, let's get this baby what they need.
Yeah, like, nothing was suspicious to them or to the doctors. Well, I think there's different articles that say different things. I think some hospital staff thought that something was off because someone of that age giving birth, with no signs of giving birth. But I think there was just a lot of miscommunication. So some articles say that doctors, you know, think something was up, but some say that they didn't.
And I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's also like, who would really think that, you know, like the whole backstory of what it was, you know?
Yeah, no one would have expected that. And because of the way that the baby was brought to the world, the baby had no brain activity.
Like, they literally ripped him apart from his mom. So the baby was definitely not in, like, healthy conditions, you know? And when the baby was rescued by the real family, they named him Giovanni Yadiel López. And the Ochoa López family decidieron quitar al bebé de life support.
Giovanni Yadiel López died on June 14th.
Clarissa Figueroa and her daughter Desiree Figueroa and Peter Bodak, que era el novio de Clarissa, were charged with murder in the killing of Marlene and her infant son. The police superintendent, Eddie Johnson, said, quote-unquote, that we can only assume that Figueroa's family wanted to raise the baby themselves.
And that kind of makes sense porque su propio hijo había muerto muy recientemente after she announced her fake pregnancy.
Yeah.
And so maybe she wanted to fill that void.
Yeah, it was, I mean, as sick as it was probably like her way of like coping through the loss of her own child, you know? That's crazy.
Yeah, I think it's... very selfish, even because they don't consider the harm that they are causing on the mother and the whole family.
Yeah, and like the baby didn't even have a chance, really. You know?
Cause they took that,
and it's so scary to think about how someone can plan such a malicious and vicious plan for like all these months, you know.
También Clarissa empezó un GoFundMe. She was asking for money because she was portraying to be a mother with an infant that had problemas de respiración.
She was just an evil person. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
She was an evil person. Like, how... I just... Like, you murdered an innocent 19-year-old. You tear her womb apart. You take out her baby. Make it seem like it's your baby. And then you're still asking for money? It's twisted. It's so...
Yeah, very twisted. But the money was returned to all the donors.
I'm glad that, you know, they were able to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah. Lleva más de un año, but the family is still waiting for justice. COVID has interrupted the process.
On the one-year anniversary of death of Giovanni Yadiel López, the family had a vigil to honor him.
At the vigil, Julie Contreras, a pastor and a family spokesman, dijo que para darle honor al bebé, la familia le pide a la gente que hagan un acto de bondad.
She mentions how this year, 2020, has been so tough, and I think we can all agree on that, and that they want to heal. They've suffered so much, you know, from losing their loved ones to a brutal murder and to COVID and just everything in between. They want the community to heal and tienen la esperanza de que estos actos de bondad puedan crecer.
And honestly, I think that's really nice. It's been a tough year. There's a lot of pain and, I don't know, 2020 has been a really tough year. And that's on top of losing their loved ones a year before that. So,
And I also think it's, like, a good, like, reminder that if, like, bad things come our way, we shouldn't, like, let them make us bitter and we shouldn't reciprocate that energy out. Like, we should instead focus on our self-healing and focus on, like, what we're giving out. Like, you know, like, the energy and, like, the vibes and, like, you know, I feel like this horrible incident happened to this family. And I feel like, you know, she's saying, like, yeah, take your time, you know, like, deal with the emotions, because it is something horrible, you know, deal with the processing of it. But then at the end of the day, like, take kindness by the hand, mm-hmm. and, like, go out and, like, spread it, you know. And I think, I don't know, I honestly, like, not to be cliche or anything, but I feel like that is a great piece of advice.
Yeah, and so they did exactly that. Their first act of kindness was taking meals to the Chicago police officers.
And all of this happened through interactions through Facebook. And, you know, I use the Facebook Market.
And, yeah, same. I think we both actually got our podcast mics through the Facebook Market.
Yeah.
So it just shows that anyone can use these groups, the market.
Yeah, you could. Obviously, like, for, like, Steph and I, you know, we got great deals on these mics. And I have also, like, purchased other things, you know. And, like, the thought of something like this happening has crossed my mind.
Yeah, like, my mom never lets me go alone. Mm-hmm. She either has to come with me or she makes me find someone else to go with me.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, like, I don't know, it's just all about taking, like, better precaution. And it's interesting, too, though, because we really can't trust everything we see. Just recently, I saw, like, my old place as an ad on Facebook saying that it was being rented. But, like, that was in my landlord's name. It was under someone else's name. And then the pricing for the place was, like, so much cheaper. And, like, you know, Bay Area rent, it's not going to be that cheap. And so me and my sister were, like, kind of confused. And, like, I was telling her, I was like, it seems really sketch, you know? And so we actually ended up asking our landlord, like, hey, like, just so you know, like, we saw this ad. Like, is this accurate? Like, if so, we have people who are interested. And she was like, no, like, that's not me with the ad. And she's like, and that's not the pricing for the housing, you know? And so she was also saying how, like, with the whole, like, property, like, there's, like, a big movement of, like, scandal happening there.
Oh.
Of, like, people, like, cheating people out of, like, the first month's deposit and, like, stuff like that.
Yeah, like, I was gonna add to that. Back when we were in college, the same kind of Facebook posts were being posted on the housing group for Santa Cruz students, like, off campus. And some people, like, some students actually fell for it. They actually would sent in their deposit, and that the landlord was overseas or on vacation, and they couldn't directly go show them the apartment, so they would only send pictures, and that they would mail in the keys. And some, like, students actually fell for that and lost their deposit money, and then they would try to call them back or email them back, and then they were gone. The phone number didn't work. And I saw that a lot on the Santa Cruz Facebook group for housing. So,
it just, again, you know, we just got to take precaution about it all, whether it's, like, money being stolen or, like, our life on the line, you know? It's just always important to, like, stay alert.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that was, like, super off topic, but relatable.
Kinda, yeah.
Because in this case, a woman was giving away free baby clothes. You know, it was a mom helping out another mom. But, you know, like, we truly never know someone's true intentions.
Yeah. And I'll repeat it again, you know, caras vemos, corazones no sabemos.
Thank you for listening to today's episode, and we'll see y'all next week.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.